You're listening to The World Today from the BBC World Service with Roger Hearing, Mark Whittaker and Jimi Hendrix. While I kiss the sky, or maybe that should be, excuse me, while I kick the booze. Because researchers in Norway reckon LSD, the hallucinogenic drug beloved of psychedelic 60s rock stars, but banned by the authorities, could be used to treat alcoholism. Terry Krebs is from the Department of Neuroscience at the Norwegian University of Science and Technology.
There's strong, very clear, consistent, beneficial effect of a single dose of LSD on alcohol misuse and on abstinence from alcohol. These effects were lasting at least 6 months after one dose of LSD. LSD.
The Norwegian scientists acknowledge that they're re-examining clinical studies which were carried out as far back as the 1950s and 60s, when lysergic acid diethylamide, or LSD, or acid as it was known, was still legal. LSD had a strange journey from its accidental discovery in a laboratory in Basel in Switzerland in the 1940s to its becoming the mind-expanding drug of choice for 60s West Coast rock musicians and California hippies. But music journalist Joel Selvin, author of the book Summer of Love, the inside story of LSD, rock and roll, free love and high time in the Wild West, says the idea of dropping acid to beat the booze is really a trip back to the future.
LSD was introduced to American culture by some far-thinking Beverly Hills psychiatrists in the late 50s. And it developed a kind of vogue among progressive psychiatric circles in California. And I know I saw a guy who had been fired as health director of San Mateo County here in California in 1964 for treating alcoholics with LSD. The bend in the road was Owsley Stanley, Augustus Owsley Stanley, who was the first private party to synthesize LSD in all around San Francisco Bay Area. A kind of LSD subculture developed around with art and literature and music that was a product of LSD experiences. And as you know, that subculture spread all around the world in the 60s. And, you know, the sort of high point of it was the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club album, which is a product of their LSD experience.
John Lennon always denied that the song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, he said it was coincidental, but...
As well he should. I would tell you that the album was first debuted in San Francisco when Paul McCartney flew in on Frank Sinatra's Learjet and walked in unannounced at a rehearsal of the Jefferson Airplane, and he had a test pressing of the album, and they all went back to the airplane mansion and took DMT, which is a really much more intense psychedelic experience than LSD, and listened to this album. All the people who were there that night remember it very clearly.
And what did it do for the pop scene? Because there was a period, wasn't there, in the late 60s when so many album tracks, songs written by people like Jefferson Airplane, the Beatles, the Pretty Things, they were all about drugs, weren't they? All about LSD.
Yes, yes. The LSD was a strong influence on the pop music scene. It's a place where you can really see it more obviously than in other realms, such as literature or painting and drawing. But in pop music, it just blew the doors off of, like, the three-minute single.
Well, we just decided to take it again in California, yeah. We were on tour in one of those houses, like, you know, Doris Day's house or whatever it was we used to stay. And the three of us took it, Ringo, George and I, and Peter Fonda came, and that was another thing. And he kept on saying, I know what it's like to be dead.
What?
Mm-hmm. And he kept saying it, you know, he was saying, for Christ's sake, shut up, we don't care. You know, we don't want to know, and he kept going on about it. And that's how I wrote She Said, She Said.
She said, I know what it's like to be dead.
Even groups that did not participate in the LSD experience, such as Pink Floyd, they nevertheless followed the psychedelic movement and created psychedelic-type music. The Grateful Dead, on the other hand, they performed their music and designed their music and constructed their music under the influence of LSD.
What about the negative side? I mean, people talked about having bad trips, about having almost psychotic experiences on this drug.
I've never really felt that the experience, the things you're talking about, were really pertinent to the drug itself and to the people who took it.
So why did LSD excite so much controversy then, of all drugs, among law enforcement? I mean, the FBI, the CIA, were all very exercised about LSD, weren't they?
Well, now that you mention the CIA, you know, they came across the drug very early in the 50s and conducted a lot of nefarious experiments on American civilian populations with it.
Without them knowing?
Oh, absolutely clandestine. They weren't revealed for many, many years later. But the CIA thought that it might have some considerable application as a chemical warfare agent. They actually sprayed clouds of it over San Francisco to just see how it would disperse in civilian populations. And they also operated a bordello where they slipped it into clients' drinks, and then you were able to watch them up close. You can find some of the 50s LSD experiments on YouTube. I mean, it's really goofy science fiction theater sort of stuff, like, you know, but that's what they were thinking it was. It turns out that it was a doorway to an enormous amount of creativity and a considerable raised consciousness by millions and millions of people all over the world.
This is the Pretty Things You Can Hear with their 60s album track LSD. You also heard there from Joel Selvin, author of the Book of Summer Love, the inside story of LSD, rock and roll, free love, and high time in the Wild West. And if that's not a psychedelic, mind-expanding book title, I don't know what is. You're listening to The World Today, much simpler.